Hello, it is Saturday, the 2nd of September, 2023, at 23:59:47. So, just in time, I am recording the third day of podcasting. Who am I? What am I doing? Yeah, I'll do that bit now. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Captain Roy's Rusty Rocket Radio Show, the UK geek science fiction, fantasy and horror podcast, episode 501, taped through a Shure SM58 microphone on... Well, I've already done that bit, so I don't have to do that bit. Tonight, we have a lot to say. There is a lot to say. So let's say it. But before we say the main part, I'm going to talk about the off-topic stuff. Yes, we're going to gallop off into off-topic woods first and ramble. Then we'll get back to science fiction, fantasy, and horror, of which there is a lot. So let's whiz through the off-topic stuff first. Wow, I really had to scroll down quite a lot. That is amazing, and considering also that I moved quite a bit of the off-topic subjects that I was going to talk about this time into episode 500, and that in itself was half an hour long. Ooh, that was a lot of stuff. Okay, off-topic. As far as things that I've been watching, let's start off with some non-fiction. I watched a BBC documentary, Sensationalists, The Bad Girls and Boys of British Art. This BBC documentary charts the course of the so-called, titled by their marketing people, young British artists. I do hate that marketing nonsense of the 1990s. Those included annoying art upstarts, such as Damien Hirst and Tracy Emin, of debatable talent. Okay, personal opinion there. Upsetting the equally annoying stuffed shirt traditional art establishment, and God, they were annoying. It is a fascinating series, 3 episodes, and will leave you very, very envious and also very, very irritated with these not-so-young-anymore super-rich artists. That's Sensationalists, The Bad Girls and Boys of British Art. Next! Not so much something that I've watched or listened to. Oh dear, my belly's rumbling now. But things that I've been doing. I'm titling this one, Quest for the Legendary Bronze Key of Bog. A recent quest for a national radar key ended in a mission around the city as my sat-nav went absolutely potty because everything's just too close together, until after much faffage we found a tiny little door set into the side of a really big church that opened TARDIS-like into a small office. It's not really TARDIS-like if it's small inside, but you know what I mean. It was a very strange way to find an office. There was an arrow saying this way to the office, and then this way, and then it was the whole thing. I should say at this point, the reason I need such a key, and by the way, this scheme is to provide keys to people who need accessible toilets. I think it's still called the Blue Key System, or the Blue Key Scheme. The keys are not physically blue, at least mine isn't. The reason that I need one of those isn't that I need an accessible toilet in particular, but just that I need a toilet as a sufferer of IBS. Since, blimey, probably I was a child, yeah. Certainly teens. And if the only one available is an accessible one, then that will have to do. Though, like I said, if there's an alternative, if there's a normal sitting down cubicle toilet, then yeah, that will be fine. But if there isn't, if there is only one of these, then yeah, I'll need to use it. Back to my tale about the legendary bronze key of Bog, which will become apparent why I'm calling it this. Okay, are you ready? Due to an error of perceived scale, thanks to internet photographs, I was expecting, well, a key-sized key. That isn't what I got. Instead, I was presented with the type of heavy brass key which should open a slab-like dungeon portal from whence there is no hope of escape, or a strange alternate dimension. A weird magical alternate dimension of the type that you would see in Doctor Strange. It's a big, shiny key. After purchasing the amazing key, we were walking away, and we decided, as it turned out, that my father also needed one due to an operation that has left him with the need to pee several times a day and night. And then it occurred to us, me and my mum, that mum needed one too, since an operation many years ago. So, after obtaining the key of Bog for me for £3, about 60 seconds later, I returned to the sacred cave and spent, well, more than a penny. £6 for two more. And so, armed with this key, I did have a first chance to test out my newfound pee and poo power, and that was an abject failure at a place called Cafe Tropia in Russell Square Gardens, which only had a toilet for staff, despite the fact that I was bursting and about to burst, or according to one of their snottily helpful customers, thanks for that, man, whoever you are, if you buy something. I should have marked my territory in their stupid cafe, but I just grinned and bared it and left. I have since that unfortunate incident looked up locations of all toilets, as well as radar ones, and found that central London is a relative desert of places to go. I mean, if you have to go. And it's even worse if you need an actual accessible one. There are some, though, all of which I missed because I didn't do my homework. But frankly, it wasn't all my fault. There should have been one that you can just find without a map to a secret treasure. You don't have to be like Indiana Jones to find a toilet. But yeah, in London, sometimes you do, and that's not great. Man, that was really unpleasant. Walking back from Russell Square to Euston, at least I had a friend with me who kept my mind occupied while this terrible stuff was going on in my, ironically this time, nothing to do with my bowel, but my bladder. Oh, God. It was so painful. And why was I in Russell Square anyway? Let's talk about Russell Square Gardens picnic. I was there because I was invited to a picnic a few Saturdays ago. It was poorly attended, but I had a nice chat, a bit of cake, and ended up at my usual pub, the Doric Arch Pub at Euston Station, where I veiled myself of their bog, of which, let me tell you, yeah, there's a urinal and there's also a cubicle. That cubicle is definitely not accessible. It is so, so small. Maybe they've got another toilet somewhere else, I don't know, but man, even I, as a fairly mobile person, back problems, knee problems, yeah, doesn't matter, could barely turn in there. The phrase is, not enough room to swing a cat. Not enough room to swing a hamster. Aside time. Tangent of a tangent of a tangent. More bog talk. Weirdly, the same chap who helped me negotiate the keypad of the toilet door on my last visit, which was the mission of pod 496, helped me out again this time. I don't know how we coincidentally ended up in the same place at the same time. Maybe the guy's a regular. But anyway, thank you, that person. The trip to London had a lot less walking than my first time back in London since the pandemic. Well, the surge in the pandemic that's still going on. In pod 496, read about that trip in there if you want to, was not as physically exhausting this time. Though it still took me the whole of Sunday to recover. The distance between Euston railway station and Russell Square is in fact only a few hundred metres, but I went via Tottenham Court Road. To be fair, it was my own fault. I wanted to see Tottenham Court Road again and have a good look at the tech shops and all that stuff, and yeah, well, that didn't happen because sadly, now it is mostly bereft of those little tech shops with assistants taking fag breaks outside and replaced by a lot of posh crap. I again complained to my physio about how uncomfortable activity is. This is the chap who originally told me to just go for it. And that walking was wrecking my joints. I have another appointment with him soon. And in fact, there was a sooner appointment. I missed that appointment. My next appointment is now in October. I'll tell you why I missed that appointment in a bit. But next, still on health, I have joined a course, a diabetes prevention course, to lower my blood sugar after slightly elevated levels were found in my blood by a routine blood test at my GP. Like a lot of NHS services, the course has been outsourced to a private and very, very for-profit health company, Xyla, X-Y-L-A, which is part of another company, Acacium, A-C-A-C-I-U-M, which is in turn part of the OneX Corporation, ultimately owned by a Canadian billionaire, Gerald Schwartz. Boo. My first visit was orchestrated to the incessant intro muzak that was supposed to cheer us up, but was looped like the tunes you listen to in the lift that takes you to hell. It definitely set off my misophonia until a couple of us complained, so it wasn't just me and my sensitive hearing. People were irritated. Back to my aforesaid IBS. Because of my IBS limiting the chawing down of every single veggie under the sun, I was told by the course leader to ask my GP to have a consultation with a dietitian. I have since talked to my GP, and guess what? I need to book an appointment, and we all know what that's like. They're only released at 8 the following day. That's what you're usually told because of whatever system they've got running. Apparently, this is a common complaint. I've looked this up in many GPs. The whole system's a complete nightmare. You know what it's like if you live in the UK and you're trying to book an appointment with your GP. The government seems more happy with spending billions on outside suppliers than they are of just fixing the NHS. Anyway, went off on one there. That huge stumbling block aside, with diabetes prevention course that they can't really cater to my IBS, and which has negated most of the reason for my attendance in the first place, the course seemed to be largely educational and motivational. Though why a nurse or GP can't provide the service inside the NHS is way, way beyond me. Why? I don't know. Anyway, for the purpose of motivation, at least, we were weighed, saw, phone, and shoes. I weigh around 90.5 kilograms, minus another half a kilogram for clothes, if I'm being generous to myself. I'm probably 90 kilograms. I want to see whether I can improve on that next time I go in, and I'll report back to you on the pod as well about that. I walked to the course meeting and back, which was about 7.5 kilometers, so I must be off to a good start. And I have been walking quite a lot lately, though something has put a crimp on that, but I'll get round to talking about that in a bit. I've already said how I went back to London after such a long absence of years because of COVID-19. Well, guess what? Regarding COVID-19, there are a few excellent new variants, so if you think it's all gone away, no, it hasn't. We'll probably need to be vaccinated again once a year in perpetuity. Get used to it. I'd rather the vaccination than the illness. TMZ. Aha, okay. Something that I have been listening to, rather watching on YouTube now. I said how much I enjoy TMZ in 498. Oh, by the way, I keep saying TMZ instead of TMZ. Well, that's what they call it themselves, and they're an American show. I'll flip between the two, because I'm an idiot. Right, so yeah, I said how much I enjoyed that in 498. I still do, but I don't like how judgmental and patronizing the presenters can get. I should have expected that. It is a gossip rag, it is a scandal sheet. It's that kind of format, which includes judgment. I was a columnist, so I understand that. I wasn't this kind of columnist, though. And my moment came when listening to the recent coverage of Britney Spears. Added to that, their recent Last Days videos about celebrity deaths makes it seem that TMZ are going full-on Stephen King's inside view. If you remember back to Stephen King fiction, there is this recurring scandal magazine, the type that you'd find in America on a supermarket shelf, not so much here, called The Inside View. TMZ seem to be getting like that. TMZ, if you're listening, you're not. But if you're listening, be less icky. And onto something unpleasant. Death threat. I would say how I'd like to have a death threat about my podcast because I've annoyed someone. This is the kind of death threat I would not like. I was on the very, very nasty end of an old-school analogue death threat while out walking with my mum on the 28th. A random man suddenly became incensed for absolutely no reason whatsoever as he passed us and started spewing a murderous rant. Disturbingly, he was squaring up for a physical attack as we hurried away. The incident, understandably, I think, scared the absolute crap out of me. I ended up staying in for 2 days afterwards, putting a kink in my exercise routine, so thanks a bloody lot, you maniac. Endlessly worrying as well, and missing an important appointment. The aforesaid appointment with my physio, so that's another thing that happened thanks to that. My mum seemed okay at first, because she's tough, but delayed shock set in a couple of days later. I finally bit the bullet, because we were not doing well, and the man should now rejoice in that I have reported him to the police. Round of applause. What good it will do, I don't know. You've listened to this podcast. I don't have much faith in the police, but I've got to tell you, I'm sick and tired of letting stuff like this go, especially since my mother was involved. Don't mess with a bloke's mother. During the incident, his behaviour escalated so rapidly. Who knows what will happen when he blows a fuse next time, so I feel doubly justified making an official complaint. I've got to say, after this, I just don't know why so many minor incidents go from 0 to 60 in less than a second. You think a Tesla's fast. You should see how people get wound up. That's even faster. Probably breaks the speed of light. That strange and horrifying kind of human reaction is something to bear in mind before blowing up a situation into one that will land a person in prison. And finally, in the off-topic section, a couple of RIPs, Michael Parkinson and Kevin Mitnick. Mitnick was the famous hacker who went on the run, supported himself, apparently, by hacking while he was on the run, was caught and then jailed, then ran a successful security company afterwards. Whether he's a hero or a villain, I can't tell. He was certainly important to us IT people and hackers, I suppose, people who like tinkering. Parkinson was a UK talk show host, famous for interviewing almost everyone who was anyone for years, including Muhammad Ali. Growing up, his show was a staple of the Mature household. R.I.P. Michael Parkinson, R.I.P. Kevin Mitnick. And that is it for the off-topic section. I'm going to have a little break, then we'll get on to science fiction, fantasy and horror, of which there is a phenomenal amount this week that I hope you'll enjoy. Back in a moment. Okay, I'm back from my break, hardly relaxed. I'm all tense about doing this podcast. I don't know why I just can't relax. Maybe I've got to do something about how I do this podcast, because I'm always standing up, which fills me with possibly more energy than I need. We are back anyway. And now we are in the main part of the show, where I talk about science fiction, fantasy and horror, books, comics, movies, TV, games and toys. Let us start off with movies. Something that I've seen recently that's been on my list for quite some time, and that is Beyond the Black Rainbow. This is a 2010 science fiction horror movie written and directed by Canadian Panos Cosmatos, who also made Mandy in 2018, which we talked about in Pod 219. It is his first major film and was made in Vancouver, Brollywood. George R. Cosmatos of Escape to Athena, Cobra, and Tombstone, and loads of other films, is his famous father. In Beyond the Black Rainbow, a cultish Mercurio Arborea is dedicated to combining science and spirituality at his institute to further the evolvement of the human species. Much later, Barry Nile, Arborea's successor, damaged by drugs administered to him by his mentor many years ago, keeps the super-evolved golden superchild, Eleanor, imprisoned beneath the facility. Eventually, she escapes through the maze-like building, passing failed earlier experiments that eventually created her nightmarish earlier experiments. And then there is a final confrontation with Nile, who Deus Exes himself by tripping and whacking his head. Man, that is, again, the very definition of Deus Ex. I could be wrong in my assumption that Panos Cosmatos is a genre movie nut with so many recognisable references thrown into Beyond the Black Rainbow, but I doubt it. So let's go through them. There's the John Carpenter-like synth throb of the soundtrack. What about the 70s to 80s style art direction with UFOs, Ed Straker's space mod, and his cheese wedge-shaped sports car? Surely that character and that car was somewhat a model for Barry Nile. The drive that Barry does through a tunnel reminds me somewhat of the tunnel scene in THX 1138. The Hazcam suit of one of the lab workers echoes Planet of the Vampires, 2001 A Space Odyssey, and that's also further referenced later on in one of the rooms. The Andromeda Strain, Swarm, Conan the Barbarian, Terminator. There are sections also lifted directly from Altered States, The Man Who Fell to Earth, Blade Runner, Cube, and Scanners, itself a fictional amped-up take on the very real CIA's MKUltra program. If one were to throw in a bit of the black leather-clad giallo killer with an idiosyncratic fetishistic weapon as well, something we've also seen in films like Conan and, of course, Mandy, which I'm sure was influenced by Conan the Barbarian. And, well, there are other things I could point at, but this list would just go on forever and ever. So, in conclusion, what I'll say is that Beyond the Black Rainbow is clearly the work of a science fiction, fantasy, and horror fanboy. If we were to switch the arrow of time in the other direction, it's hard to believe that Beyond the Black Rainbow did not influence Stranger Things across the board, just across the board. And Stranger Things itself, the Duffer Brothers, I'm sure they're also fans of many of the films that I've just mentioned as well. Just on a side note, though, as I've said all that, I have had experience of interviewing creatives. When you do interview them and talk to them and ask them about their influences that you think you know, and very obviously their influences, you'll invariably get a non-committal response or grunt and a comeback saying something like, "No, actually, so what the hell do I know? Maybe I'm wrong, but I defy other watchers not to come to the same conclusion." I don't know he would say that if we were to interview him. But, like I said, I do notice creatives don't like to be obvious. They don't like to be easily read. So maybe he would disagree with that and say, "No, it's because that I saw this niche Czechoslovakian pre Fall of the Iron Curtain film. Who knows? Personally, I think he's a fanboy. After that side note, let's do a side note. I'm convinced creatives, of which I'm one, don't understand their own work and aren't the best people to explain it unless you want a response consisting of banality or worse, arty word salad. Art has a life all of its own, quite separate from whoever made it, or increasingly, whatever AI-based technology generated it. For example, the characters that I write in my literature have lives of their own. Sure, it came from my brain, but I don't feel that I have complete ownership over them. Many of the characters I write just coalesce inside the little grey cells. It seems like they do that on their own. Okay. Let's get down to... Oh god, I was going to say brass tacks. I won't say brass tacks. I've already said it's too late. Is it good? Is Beyond the Black Rainbow a good film? Stylistically, I would say it is a trippy masterpiece. Even though I have read that Cosmatos has a dislike for 60s psychedelia, a position which I wholeheartedly disagree with, and curiously, without drug culture-fueled new wave science fiction of the 60s that Panos Cosmatos heavily draws upon, films like this, supposedly critiquing that time, would not exist. Script-wise, the pacing is ponderous, and it is a difficult film to follow for really such a simple premise. Someone is locked up, they escape, they're chased for a bit. That's fairly high concept, but the way it's scripted, the way it's filmed, some of the sound design, I had a bit of trouble hearing the dialogue over the soundtrack. Some of that stuff doesn't do it any favours, or maybe it's just my hearing, but as I've said before, I have changed the settings on my media player to boost the centre audio dialogue channel. So a little bit of criticism there. The actor who plays the evil Barry Nile, Michael Rogers, is phenomenal as the deranged lead. Phenomenal. That is really great acting, really iconoclastic acting, memorable acting. Wow. Fashion. Yes, this is something set in the 80s, and the 80-ness of that film makes me sorely miss my lovely beige leisure suit. I think our leisure suits, me and my father's, were supposed to reflect something a little bit more macho. It was supposed to be a bit more safari, but they were leisure suits, and they were great, and I missed them. I had a beige one. My father had one in powder blue. Neither of these suits seem to feature in the film, but seeing this film reminded me of them. It pinged my zeitgeist. And that is my little chat, semi-review review of Beyond the Black Rainbow, a science fiction horror film by Panos Cosmatos, the director of Mandy, from 2010. Let us move on to another film, 65, as in 65 million years ago. A space captain in our far past goes on one last mission to fund his daughter's medical treatment. Well, we've talked about the NHS earlier, and I'm glad to see that unrestrained capitalism is still a feature of even advanced space-Earth societies. Like also something that was used in Outlander from 2008 with humanoid aliens from the distant past colonially exploiting alien worlds, and in which a spaceman from a rapacious, capitalistic, predatory civilization joins a bunch of Earth Vikings. Where were we? I digressed into talking about Outlander. Okay, back to 65. The mission goes terribly wrong, and he crash lands on Earth of 65 million years ago. Then he and the other sole survivor try to outrun dinosaurs to reach their escape ship. The other survivor is a small girl who reminds him of his own daughter. It's a literally breathless adventure in which Adam Driver's constant breathlessness is completely out of sync with his co-star. I don't really understand what's going on. There are many scenes in which they're both legging it, but Adam Driver is huffing and puffing like the big bad wolf, and the young actress is not. All I can say to that is, that'll teach you to go method acting, Adam Driver. Why do we even bother with directors anymore? Stop pampering actors. See what the scene requires and ask them to do it. But no, that won't happen, because now we do stunt casting where you just get these amazing celebrities to play a part in any which way they want to do it. It's chaos. 65. It's an okay film, but hardly special in any way whatsoever. I watched it. It was done. I moved on. I think what they were going for is a simple, high-concept, stripped-down action movie. There was some action. Wasn't too bad. Wasn't memorable at all. Let's move on to another film. Hypnotic, from 2023, in which a murderous, hypnotic supervillain can make people do what they want, and only a cop and a lesser-powered hypnotic can stop him as he sets about causing mayhem. That's a great concept, with some interesting real-life parallels. There's Galina Kozlov in Russia of the early 2000s. There's the Copenhagen hypnosis murders of the 1950s. As well as a fictional one, though I'm sure there are many more. In the case of the X-Files story Pusher from 1996. All promising stuff. Unfortunately, it is very poorly scripted and boringly staged. I lasted about 30 minutes. A big disappointment from Robert Rodriguez and his star actor Ben Affleck. Moving on to The Spine of Night. This is a very violent and very bloody sword and sorcery rotoscope animated film from 2021 that no one seems to know about. Rotoscoping is when you animate over live-action movement. There is similar rotoscopery, I'm not sure if that's a word, in another sword and sorcery film, Fire and Ice, which we talked about in Pod 301. That also sprang to mind when I watched this. And similarly, clothing seems to be occasionally optional in this movie. Maybe it's just very hot. Anyway, back to The Spine of Night. It is a depressing and epic tale of a witch queen who has her super-powered magical blooms stolen by a wizard greedy for power. Mass murder ensues when this wizard uses the blooms to become a terrible dictator, but ultimately The evil is defeated. However, and very unusually, the film ends with a promise of even more misery to come. That is exactly how you end A Tale of Sword and Sorcery by Crom. Man, the way they did that just reminded me of something I often talk about, and that's the Caine books of Carl Edward Wagner. Whew. I think it's worth a watch. I think this one is worth a watch. If you do watch The Spine of Night, please get in touch with the show. Tell me what you thought. I would love to continue this discussion. That is it for films. Let's move on to TV. Star Trek Strange New Worlds. We end on a confrontation with Gorns and meet yet another actor playing another Montgomery Scott. This time the actor is actually Scottish. And that is it for Season 2. There is no release date yet set for Season 3, but I'm absolutely sure that it's in the works. Star Trek Strange New Worlds is simply too successful, too popular not to come back. Money, money, money. Despite my reservations of all the shows that are not the original series, and despite my cynicism about money, I remain a Trekkie for life, and I'm holding up my Vulcan salute. Both hands. Double Vulcan salute, and I'm waving them in circles. I'm not sure Vulcans would do that. They would think you were insane. Next. Wednesday. Wednesday is a 2022 Netflix horror comedy starring Jenna Ortega, about Wednesday Adams at a school for students similar to herself. That is werewolves, vampires, and other assorted freaks. And also, while she's there, becoming embroiled in a murder mystery. The effects are surprisingly and wonderfully nasty. Jenna Ortega is great. And Christina Ricci is in it too, as one of the teachers. That's a nice little touch for the fans, a bit of fan service, because of course Christina Ricci played Wednesday in the movies. However, like the movies, there are too many one-liners. I suppose they're in there because Charles Adams' strip was intended for newspapers, but it does prove that you can't turn a newspaper cartoon into a movie. I mean, you can adapt it, but a movie is not a newspaper cartoon. It's the same with adapting a comic into a movie. It can't be just a direct translation. That won't work. Or adapting anything to a movie. They are different mediums. There are different techniques to do that. It's also lining up to be a bit of a teen soap, too much for my taste. Though I'm sure that's by intention. They want to drum up a kind of Buffy-like fandom. If you know me, you'll know that I just had to see at least the first episode, because Charles Adams' work is just my bag, my body bag, coffin, funeral pyre. As I also subscribe to the Cramps channel on YouTube, again, no surprise, I saw that the drummer, Kid Congo, was speaking glowingly of the dance scene that Jenny Ortega does in one of the episodes that I haven't seen yet, because I won't be following this one. The subject matter, the whole sort of thing surrounding it, is the type of thing that I like. The way it's executed, not so much so. And Buffy was of its time. I don't want to go back there. I want something new. So that is the opinion of he of the multiple black horror t-shirts and black jeans and generally black clothes. Me. Okay, let us move on from Wednesday to Ahsoka. Oh, that name, Ahsoka, yes. Every time I see it, I want to say Ashoka because I'm a Hindu. And all they've done is swap those two letters. But yeah, I can say it. Ahsoka. It's pretty cool. Does sound unusual. Sounds a very Star Wars-y name. Anyway, Ahsoka. I'm sure I'm going to get that wrong again. This follows the story of Anakin's wayward apprentice, Ahsoka Tano. She tries to find a threat to the Alliance government in the form of the exiled Imperial Grand Admiral Thrawn. She does this with the help of her own wayward ex-Padawan apprentice learner, a Mandalorian named Sabine Wren, while a couple of Dark Jedis, henching for a witch, try to stop them. Apart from what others have said and what little I've seen, I don't know much about animated Star Wars. However, I have read and liked Timothy Zahn's Heir to the Empire series about Grand Admiral Thrawn, mainly because I was a fan of Zahn's military science fiction series, Black Collar and Cobra. Those were a series of books from the 80s. So I know about the general milieu, and I'm looking forward to seeing Thrawn in the flesh. So far, from what I've seen, most of what I'm watching regarding Ahsoka and Sabine comes from this new series. I know very little else about the characters, but from the way the first two episodes are unfolding, prior knowledge is unnecessary, and since I have watched the third episode, where it does get a bit harder to follow if you don't know all the backstory, but generally, it's okay. So if you don't have experience with the animated series, don't worry, you'll still be able to follow this. The acting is good, the action is good, the effects are good, because of course they are, and saying anything else is almost redundant, as this is Star Wars. The main starring actresses are also astonishingly attractive. A delightful fact that I'm not going to further qualify. In conclusion, I'm enjoying this probably a little more than The Mandalorian, and on an equal footing with Andor. And that's Ahsoka. Yeah, I went through that whole thing without saying Ahsoka. Bollocks. Sorry. Bugger it. And finally, Secret Invasion. In the end of this mini-series, I think it's a mini-series, I don't think there are going to be any more, Nick Fury, or as I call him because of that hat and patch, Fisherman Fury, defeats the bad Skrulls through guile, which is his superpower. He is a super spy after all, and saves the American president, who suddenly takes on a Nazi-like turn and begins a genocidal campaign to murder all remaining Skrulls on the planet. So it's a cock-up, but at least it ends on a sweet note with Nick and his amore departing together on a spaceship to broker a peace between the Kree and the Skrulls, and perhaps that peace will enable the Skrulls to find a place to live in peace. It's a sort of happy ending. Apart from the genocide, that bit's not so happy. And that's Secret Invasion. That was an exceedingly long show. I hope you survived. But we did have a lot to catch up on. I'm not sure if I've completely survived my own show. I'm absolutely and utterly and completely and utterly and completely buggered. Totally buggered. Oh, I can't tell you how buggered I am. My legs are two columns of aged wood. Not as in strong oaks, but rattled with woodworm. Okay, do a bit of on-the-spot movement. Not great for a podcast, but bugger it, I'm so tired now. 3 days of podcasting, never again. Never will I do this again. Until I do this again, but I hope I won't. It's much better to spread things out. The show that you just listened to is made by me, Roy Matur, a writer. Matur is spelled M-A-T-H-U-R. You can find more about me or get in touch at roymatur.com. I just sprang that on you, didn't I? I just don't want to go on anymore. If you want to help, please review and rate the show on whatever platform you listen. Recommend it to a friend or mortal enemy. Deep breath. Or click on the contact or support link on the website. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to Captain Roy's Rusty Rocket Radio Show, the UK geek science fiction, fantasy and horror podcast, episode 501, taped on Saturday, the 2nd of September, but ending on Sunday, the 3rd of September, 2023. Before I tell you the time at the end and say goodbye, I should say, I haven't even finished editing the first of these three episodes. I'm only 10 minutes into that, so tomorrow will be a day of editing, and then I'll spread out the release next week, so I won't do them all at once. I'll spread them out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so you have something to listen that I've done of mine nice and spread out. No one wants a surfeit of Roy. King John died from a surfeit of apples, apparently. I'm not sure that you could die of a surfeit of me, although I'm a talkative bugger, so who knows. I know I can annoy people by my incessant talking, but that's why I have a podcast. Anyway, it is now 01:18:18. And it is time to say goodbye, so thank you everyone for listening, and bye-bye for now. Bye!